Well, praise the Lord. What a joy and honor to be here again. Hallelujah. Is it good? Yeehaw! Okay, this is what I'm going to use as illustration of my preaching. Let's open the Bible in Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 to verse 11. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Hallelujah. When we born again, God give us a new identity. And Paul illustrated the identity is like clothes. He said, you have put off the old man and put on the new man. So God first give us a new identity first. It's like a cloth. He used the word put off and put on. So identity is very important. Because from identity, then we will determine how our lives look like. Because identity determines our lifestyle. So Paul illustrated, it's like, you know, when you see in every culture, they have their own clothes. The clothes is like their identity. Every nation has their own clothes, the identity. Even every profession have their own clothes. If you join an army, they will put on the clothes of an army to you. If you join a nursing profession, you will be put on a cloth of a nurse. Whatever the profession, they have an identity for you to put it on. When you put it on, for example, if you join an army, you will have a cloth to put it on in your life. And then, what happened? When you look at your life, wow, I'm a soldier now. So what must I do? I have to adjust my lifestyle according to the identity. Is that right? So this is how also when we born again. When we born again, God give us, all of us, a new identity. And what is that identity? The new man. Wow, I love it. What is the new man? See, in the West or in many countries, many culture, we think new man is a personal identity. Oh, I am a new man. I am a new man. So even we write books about new man, it's individual. But if you look at the context, the new man is not a person only. But if you look at the context, the new man, who is the new man? Okay, I will show you in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 15. It says, you know, because God united the two, become one new man. There is only one new man, not many new men. So who is that new man? That new man is not your personal life. That new man is Christ with his body. Wow, here it says, Christ is all and in all. Who is that all? That all is the sum, the total sum of all kind of people which baptized into his body. Some Jewish people, non-Jewish people, circumcised, non-circumcised, Greek or Jews, you know, barbarian or Scythian, free or slave, we are all baptized into one body and form the one new man. See, but we don't understand this identity. That's why I like the title today, Identity in Community. Who are we? We are not just an individual person anymore. When you get saved, you are not just an individual person anymore. You are a community. It's, you are the new man, that new man. And if you are that new man, you need to adjust your life according to that identity, according to the shirt, according to the clothes you wear. You must adjust your life. That's why today I want you to see that the new man lives differently. See why we had so many problems today, like the Corinthian church. Do you know the Corinthian church? Oh, they were the most terrible church in the whole Bible. They were so worldly, full of division. They were childish. You know, they sue one another, the brethren in the court. They had sin that even never found among the heathen. Oh, so creative in sinning, huh? And not only that, they, you know, they didn't know how to practice the gift properly. They don't know how to build the church. See, what was the solution Paul gave to them? Paul didn't scold them and said, "You stupid Corinthians, you go to hell." No, he even called them sane. I mean, terrible sane. But Paul looked at them differently, and Paul gave them the solution. What was the solution? Very simple. In almost every chapter, he gave them only one topic. How to live in the body. How to live in that new man. And he said, "Is Christ divided?" See, Paul looked at church and Christ are one, cannot be separated. And then in chapter 9, he says, "Do you not know your member, your body member, are the member of Christ? If you bring the member for fornication, that means you involve Christ, because Christ and his body are one." Hey, we are not as Christ's body as an illustration. No, that's not an illustration. We are really his body member. This is not just an illustration. This is a reality. Amen. The Corinthians didn't understand this. So Paul said, "Do you not know if you hurt the brethren, you wound, you know, you hurt the brethren, you wound their conscience, you already sins against Christ." Wow. He looked at church and Christ are one. He keeps saying that to the end. Always the body, the body. Hey, don't hurt the body. If you hurt the body, you hurt Christ. Because this is our identity. See, we need to live a different way when we understand this. I want to take you to the journey to look at the parallel verse of this Colossians. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. This is the parallel verse. Okay, look at verse 25. How the new man live. Remember, if you already have the identity, adjust your life according to the identity. Okay, Ephesians 4 verse 25. Therefore, the word therefore link verse 24 to 25. Therefore, verse 24 is about the new man. I mean, because we are the new man, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor. Do not lie to one another. Why? God wants us not to lie to one another. Do you know why? What would be the motive not to lie to one another? If I ask you, what would be the motive? Maybe some of you say, "Oh, because I want to be a good man." Why do we not lying to one another? Oh, because I want to be blessed. But the motive still very individualistic. I want to be blessed. I want to be blessed. I want to be a good man. But do you know the early church, why they do not lie to one another? Do you know why? Okay, this is why. For we are members of one another. Because we are the member of Christ. If we lie to one another, that means we hurt ourselves too. Because the member is us too. We are one organism. Amen? We are one organism. And also, if we lie to one another, Jesus can feel it. Because the head can feel whatever happened to the body. Yeah. If you, you know, your hand slammed by the door, what happened to you? You will feel, wow, the head feel the most. I never seen when the hand slammed by the door, the head keep silent. Oops. Something wrong with the head, I mean. Or some head, when the hand slammed by the door, boom. Once again, please. No, that's a little bit cuckoo already, I mean. See, whatever happened to the body, the head feel it. Jesus can feel it. So be careful what you do. You are the new man. You are different. Your identity determines how you live. Okay, verse 26. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Nor give place to the devil. Why we do not have anger over one another? Why? What would be the motive? Okay, the motive is this. Because Paul said, we do not want to give place to the devil. Okay, this is the right motive. What is the meaning? The devil here, the word devil came from the Greek word, you know, diabolo. What is the meaning of diabolo? Diabolo means the divider. He divide. Division, create division. He divide. So why we do not want to get angry, you know, towards one another? Because we don't want to give place to the divider to divide the body. We don't want the enemy to destroy the body of Christ because we love the body of Christ. That's why we don't want to give place for anger. How about you? See, this is the motive why, you know, we live. Everything is for the body. Everything. Okay. Look at verse 29. Okay, verse 28. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may give something to give to him who has need. Why do we have to work? If I ask you, why do we have to work? Your answer would be what? Okay, I need money. I need to earn money for myself, for my family. That's normal, man. Yeah, that's normal. But here it says if you are new man, if you live in the new man, you have a different motive. Why we works, you know, we never seen this, right? Because we want to give to those who have needs. Who are these people? The context tells us they are the body of Christ. Because if you see your brethren have needs, you do not answer that. Can you say that God loves abide in you? See, that's why the early church, they were so different. Wow, they give, they sacrifice their life. They share their life. See, this, we don't see this right nowadays anymore. Churches, we don't care for one another. Today, we don't sacrifice and give. In our cell, when they understood this, they begin to change. Their life begins to change. They give to one another. They love one another because they understand their new identity now. Hallelujah. And then it says, verse 29, let no corrupt words proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. Do not say corrupt words. Corrupt words means death words that do not, you know, impart grace to others, do not build others. God say, we have to live by saying living words, not dead words, not corrupt words. Why? So that you can edify the body. Because the word edification is oikodomeo. Yeah, came from two words, oikos and domeo. Oikos is talking about household, the house. Because we live for the body, we live for the house. Our life is for building the house, the eternal purpose. God wants us to live for that reason. See, all what we do is for the body. That's a new paradigm. That's how we should live as a new man. See, we don't teach this in today's church. We become very independent Christian. We live by our own, and then we write books. We say, I am a new man. I am a new man. New man is not you personally. It's a corporate man. Christ and his body put on this identity. Look at your life differently now. You are a corporate man. Hallelujah. You walk with Jesus differently now. When you understand this, you will live differently. See, all of us, because we came from the old man, what was the old man? The old man was, you know, we and Adam. Adam was our head before. We were in Adam. We live in Adam. That is the old man. Now, we were delivered from the old man, and now we become new men. We were translated. We were baptized into Jesus' body. Now our new head is Jesus. But I want to tell you, although we already in the new man, although our new head is Jesus, but still, we have many automatic response. The automatic response is independent life. Self-centered life. Automatic response. That's why automatic response only can be changed and overcome by new automatic response. The sinful automatic response must be changed into new righteous automatic response. See, many Christians, actually they already died with Jesus. But, of course, you know, they still have automatic response. And automatic response need to be dealt with. Otherwise, although you already knew man, but you tend to react in an old automatic response. We need to die to Christ. Hallelujah. Die with Christ. Amen. But many of us say, Pastor Eddie, I actually already died with Christ. I died already. Many times I died. But the problem is this. On the third day, I always risen from the dead. That's a problem, Pastor Eddie. So today, I want to share with you how to die properly. And this teaching is called deathology. Amen? So we need to die properly. Although we died with Christ, but the automatic response still need to be dealt with. I give you an example. When I was a little, when I was young, and I had a friend, he was very naughty. You know, when he killed chicken, he didn't slaughter them. Yeah, and then hold the chicken, let the chicken die. But he let the chicken run, and he chased the chicken with samurai sword, Japanese sword. So the chicken ran, and then he chopped off the head of the chicken. He was very naughty. The chicken ran. The head chopped off. I want to ask you, did the chicken die already? Medically, yes. Biologically, yes. The chicken died. How can the chicken live without the head? Chop off. That's also us. When you receive Christ, hallelujah, Jesus chop off your old head. Because your old head is Adam. Amen? He chop off the old head. But, although the chicken now had no head, still running. No head. So what is this? This is called automatic response. Okay? It needs about 2 minutes for the automatic response to stop. That's chicken. Maybe 3 minutes, okay? But one day, my friend, who was very naughty, he cut off the head of the cockroach. Do you know cockroach more stronger than chicken? Cockroach can live without head for 3 days. 3 days. Wow. So strong. But I want to tell you one more species. If you chop off the head, this species can live more longer than cockroach. Do you want to know? Christian. Some Christian need 20 years to stop the automatic response. Watching pornography. Come on, I mean, ask the person next to you using this. How long do you need to stop this? Okay. See, we already disconnected with Adam, but our life, we still have a lot of automatic response. Sinful automatic response. This need to be dealt with. How? Only through one way, discipleship. That's why we need the cell and we need to, to be discipled. No discipleship, this all automatic response will not cease from you. I have seen so many people being changed when they were being discipled. I want my son Christian to share a little bit how when the young people, he ministered to people in LA, and when they understand this new identity and then they being discipled, God changed their life and they live differently. Come on, Christian.
Howdy. What's up, guys? I'm actually serving in a church plant out in LA, and I have a college group cell, and we've been meeting for about, I want to say, 3-4 years. But the one thing that I learned about my group is that I have messed up people, and they probably think the same about me. So we're even. But I didn't get this when he was first sharing it with me, I didn't get it because I was like, you know, people are just too selfish. I feel I'm selfish. We don't know how to live in community. So when I was reading the scripture and looking at the early church, I was like, how come it's so different than my church? This does not match, you know. But then we kept on reading it and trying to understand it. And then one day God revealed it to our community. It's only God can reveal it to you. But when God revealed it to you about this body of Christ and the head and how it is one, you know, many of our cell members in the beginning judge one another. They just hate each other's guts. They're like, I can't stand that girl. I can't stand that guy. They even try to hurt one another. And for me, it was a radical change when they understood this. And they're like, wow, when I hurt this person, I am hurting Christ. Because they're one. And I am one too. I'm actually hurting myself also. And I saw a change. They did not just live for themselves. They started looking at the other members as part of their lives. And they say, hey, if one body member suffer, we will suffer with you. And that happened. One of our friends, you know, cars are very important in America. I realized that. Can't go anywhere without cars. And that's what I learned in California. But one of our member, the dad, was having some financial trouble, and they got into an accident. The car that they usually drive got into an accident, and they didn't have a car. And the dad was really sad. They were in debt and this and that. And when we were praying as a cell, God really gave us a heart and said, hey, if one body member suffer, everyone needs to suffer with that guy. And we were asking God, but we're poor college students. What do you want us to do? And God says, you got to fulfill the need. So we pray about it, and we felt the church was called to answer the need of this guy. So we started collecting money. I mean, college students don't have much. But then I was so touched. One girl came up to me and said, hey, Christian, I prayed, and God said I need to give this much. And I know this girl. She's in school. She has a lot of loan. And then I'm like, hey, you're working. It's okay. I'll pay for your part. You don't have to pay it. But she said, no. I bought a shoe 2 weeks ago, and God says, return it. So I returned the shoes that I bought, and I want to give. When I received that, I felt Christ's love running through the body that I'm living in. We collected it, surprised them, brought them to a garage. They didn't know what happened. Suddenly, a car in front of them, and we say, hey, the body of Christ, we want to bless you. We love you. The parents were so touched. He said, you know, I never seen anyone love my children like you guys do. And that way I experienced the body in that sense. And there's also messiness, you know, in that, in relationship and just in people. But I saw when people get this, their paradigm change, their lifestyle change, how they love people change. And the community become a beautiful place instead of a drag. You know, you have to drag every Thursday or Friday or whenever you meet. You know, so I just want to encourage you. I'm really blessed, and I'm really encouraged by this message. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. We have a new identity. Christ is all in all. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for speaking to us today. Thank you for pouring out your heart, your will, your desire to all of us. Father God, I pray today, give us this understanding. Reveal to us this new identity so we understand who we are in Christ. We are not a person, individual, live alone independently, but we live in a corporate body. Thank you, Father God. And we surrender all of us to you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.
Give it a hand.